Again, God has been doing amazing things. I just want you to know how grateful I am. This is nothing that I've done, my family's done, or that any of us have done, but we've been able to be a part of it. Get your Bibles. We're going to turn to the book of 1 John. If you don't have a Bible with you, about every fourth chair or so, there's a Bible in the chairs. The book of 1 John is towards the back of that. Let's dive into the scripture after we watch this video. Live love. Love means a lot of different things in a lot of different places. How many of you love ice cream? More hands should be up than that. How many of you love sports? How many of you love the Redskins, even though you don't know why? All right, yeah. We say love about a lot of things. But hopefully those categories that we just mentioned are completely different than the love for your spouse. How many of you love your spouse? Yeah, you better put that up quick and get an elbow in the side. Love means a lot of different things in a lot of different places. I remember a girl named Danny Winters, second grade. And I wrote a little letter and included a little gumball machine ring, 25 cents from like Safeway or something. Folded in this piece of paper and said, I love you, will you love me back? Yes, no, and just in case, I put a maybe box, okay? We come upon love in a lot of different ways, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Over the next month, we're going to be diving through the book of 1 John, and I invite you to come back each week as we look at a picture of what true love is. True love is different than anything we can experience as a human apart from God. There are three words for love that I'm going to throw at you real quick. If you are a note taker, in your Sunday morning handout, there is a blank section for you to take notes. And so I'm going to give you three words for love real quick. Some of these you might have heard. Others you'll recognize. And here they go. The first word I'm going to give you is the word phileo. Does anybody here know what phileo means? Phileo fish. Who said that? Yeah, good one. Phileo fish. That's right. Phileo is the first kind of love that, and that's a brotherly love, a brother like, you know, like you love your brother, your neighbor, your friend. You know, I love you, man. That kind of love. Phileo, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, okay? Phileo, it's a type of love, but if phileo is all you have for your wife, then something's missing. A lot of times when you get into that romantic side of things, that's eros. Where we get sometimes our words erotic is from that word eros, another type of love, a romantic love going a step further than that brotherly love. A lot of times as human beings, those are the two kinds of love that we have learned to experience. We've shared love for one another. We love doing different kinds of sports. We love doing different kinds of things. But the true love, the love that God has intended for us all to experience, and my hope is that each of us would come to a point of accepting that kind of love, is a love called agape. Agape is a God love, an unconditional love, a love that says, I will love you no more or no less, depending on what you do or don't do. It's a love that comes from God to every one of us. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, agape. His love was poured out unconditionally upon all who would receive it. And this month, we're going to be talking about love. First of all, if we want to know what love is, we have to know who the Father is. I had a friend named Vince, who's still a friend, but back in high school, as a junior in high school, I was in theater, and he was the student director. And one day after school, we got talking about a couple girls who we both had crushes on, and we started talking about love somehow, and that somehow got to talking about God, and then we got to talking about how apart from God, we really can't experience love, and I don't know how as teenagers we got there, but we did. And Vince, to this day, knows my passion for God, is a best friend, one of my best friends, even though he has lived, you know, I grew up in Colorado, and we've been apart for ages. We still keep in touch every January 28th, almost. We write each other or call each other. It's his birthday. And Vince still doesn't know the Lord. And so in a very sad way, I know that Vince will never really discover the fullness of true love apart from him. And that may, for some of you, sound a little harsh, but the truth is the Bible tells us that God is love. And unless we know God, we can't know the fullness of what love is. It's almost like we have that teasing appetizer that the world offers, and we have this inside of us drawing us to know what love is. But apart from God, we can't know real love. And so this morning, we're just going to start out by introducing all of us to who love is. Yeah, I said it. Who love is. And so turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 was written by the same guy who wrote the book of the Gospel of John earlier in the New Testament. If you find your concordance, you'll find the New Testament starts, and then you'll find your table of contents reads you Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The reason I tell you that is because even though we're in 1 John, I'm going to have us flip to John in a minute, so find John real quick and put a piece of paper there or one of these cards on your chairs. And then we're also going to look at the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, and that's at the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis means beginning, so it's appropriately put at the beginning. So put something there in Genesis 1, and then at the end of our talk, you're going to like, well, how long is this talk going to be? We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and good luck finding that one, okay? I got to get into my talk or we won't get through today. All right, so John chapter 1. Let me read it to you. That which was from the beginning. I'm going to stop there already. That which was from the beginning. John, this guy who wrote this letter, was one of Jesus' closest friends, one of his best friends. And so he's writing this letter to a group of people who he considers friends, who he knows who know Jesus. And so he's saying, hey guys, I want to tell you this, but I want you to tell you before anything else starts, that which was from the beginning. Okay? Now look at real quick, leave your finger in 1 John chapter 1 and flip to the front of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. What are the first three words there? In the beginning. What's the fourth word? God. All right, leave something there in 1 John. In the beginning, God. That which was from the beginning is where 1 John starts. If you look at John now, you've got something in the book of John. What are the first words there? In the beginning. You see a theme going on here? In the beginning. In the beginning what? Read that one to me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. So in the beginning was God, and we can't explain that. I mean, there's a lot of theories out there of what was around in the beginning. Some people think it was just this, you know, the stuff that caused this big bang to start, and we talked about this at youth group for a couple hours a few weeks back, and what is it that was really in the beginning? Well, I'm here to tell you that the Word tells us that in the beginning was God, and if we believe in the Word, we've got to believe that the first thing that ever was God. And we also will learn today that God was love. So in the beginning was love. And all that God does is out of love. That may get your thoughts spinning like, well, there's so many things that happen in the world that clearly aren't loving. So how are we going to make heads and tails out of all around us that isn't love? And we'll get into that in the next few weeks. But today, my goal is to point us back that from the very beginning, God was and God is love. And love was. In the beginning was God. The word for God in Genesis 1, if we read it in English, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for God there, though, wasn't written in English. The Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic and a lot of languages that aren't used today. And the word there in Genesis 1 was, in the beginning, Elohim. And the interesting thing about the word Elohim is that there are other places that we've translated into English the name God that are other names, not Elohim. What are some of the names of God that you've heard of in the Bible? Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jireh. Yeah, isn't that my God provides? God the provider? Yeah, very good. This word Elohim speaks of the plural of God. What are you talking about? Is there more than one God? The Bible says, behold the Lord God, God is one. But yet, God is three in that there's the Trinity. And we don't have time to do a big study on the Trinity and how that makes any sense, because mathematically in our mind, we'll just never figure it out. But from the beginning, God was, love was, and God was not just God, but God was also God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you drop down and look real quick over at Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Again, giving us a picture that God wasn't just one personality, but more than one. And if you continue to study Scripture, you see that God is not just God the Father, but God is also God the Son. Turn with me to Book of John, back to Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the very first verse was, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, some translating has gone on there to put it into English. The word for word, "in the beginning was the word," is the word logos. Logos was a very popular word in the Greek, amongst the Greeks. And John, when he's writing this letter, and unlike the letter we started with, the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John is being written to Christians, people who John knows know Christ. The book of John is being written to Jews and Greeks who don't yet know Christ. And so he's trying to set a precedent that, hey guys, I know you're very much into philosophy and thought and all these philosophical things, and I want you to know that in the beginning was Logos. And this Logos sums up all that was, all idea, all philosophical thought. It all was in the beginning, and all that was true, all that is thought, all that is based on philosophy, was God. In the beginning was Logos, and the Logos was with God and was God. Now drop down to verse 14 in that same chapter. We just heard that in the beginning was God. And what does verse 14 tell us? The Word became what? Flesh. Is anybody here holding a copy of the Message version of the Bible? Anybody holding that one right now? What does the Message say? The Word became a human being and what? And lived here with us. Does it say moved into the neighborhood in your version? Doesn't say that? Okay, well, I know some version out there says, "And God moved into the neighborhood." That's what he's doing in us. God will live through us, his body, as the church. And our hope as Hope Hill Church is that we will be the body of Christ moving into this neighborhood. And here's, okay, just real quick to catch you up. In the beginning was God. God is love. God is God the Father, who is all supreme, has always been, has always will be. But God became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. He came and dwelt among us to live and, most importantly, to die for us, all out of love. Let's go back to our first passage, John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched." God is not a distant God. God is a God who wants to be intimately involved in your and my life. A lot of times we think of God like that Bette Midler song, "From a Distance." God is watching us. But the truth is that God knows every hair on your head. God knows exactly what you're going to wear tomorrow. He knows the traffic problems we're going to face tomorrow. He knows everything. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms is, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" God is so supreme and so huge that he holds the universe in his hands. And yet, he knows you intimately. And he wants you to know him intimately. God is love, and God's love has been poured out for you. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, This we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. And if you notice in 1 John, that word there, again, is the same word, logos. It's with the capital W in English. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you eternal life. That which was with the Father has come and appeared to us. Jesus is very different. There are many different religions out there. There are many belief systems. And what is very common amongst most is that God is a God to be feared, but not in a respectful way, but in a really fearful way. And is distant. And you have to somehow appease him through your actions and through your sacrifices. And this is what drives many to the point of suicide, thinking they have to somehow earn their way to heaven by giving up their own life. But God is the kind of love that loves us and sees that that there's nothing that we can do to earn his love. He loves us unconditionally. And instead of him sitting there saying, you know, I'm all that and you're so messed up, you've got to somehow earn your way to me, God said, I'm sending you to them. And he himself took on flesh and he became Jesus and he came and lived amongst us. The Bible says there that he appeared to us. He was here for a short time, 33 years. And at the end of a life, he was crucified. But the Bible says that he wasn't killed, he gave up his life. And he did it to be able to show his love for us. As the Bible says in a minute, we're going to turn to Ephesians, that he had to give up his life in order for our sins to be forgiven so that that loving relationship that God wants to have with us could be made possible. We proclaim, verse 3, to you that which we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And we write these things to you that our joy may be complete. The main focus of today is that if you do not know God, you can't truly know love. And God loves each and every one of us. And his whole purpose in sending his Son on this earth to die for us was so that we could see that example of love lived out, and so that that love could then have its own life shed so that our payment of our sins could be paid for and we could come into a loving relationship and fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. This is wrapped up in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to turn there as our last passage today. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is amazing in that it points out to us that God began this work ages ago. You've heard us many times here at Hope Hill Church talk about how God started this church before the foundations of the world. Before any of us were even born, God knew Hope Hill Church would be here. That can be hard to understand, and sometimes for some that can be hard to believe. But here in Ephesians, we see it pointed out to us. As soon as I can get there, I got too many bookmarks. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be a holy and blameless offering in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one Jesus Christ whom he loves. In him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things under heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. God created you and I to know him and to have a relationship with him and to then be his praise. Not just sing words of praise to him every once in a while, but in our very thought, in our word, in our action, in everything that we're about, God created us to know his love and to live in his love and to come and know him so that others will see our good works and come to glorify our Father in heaven. So Hope Hill Church and those who are praying for us as we start, my question to you this morning is, number one, do you know God? Do you want to know true love? He's simply waiting for you to invite him into your life. Number two, are you living love? Are you living in such a way that your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members, your friends see love in your life and are drawn to the Father? And third, how does God want to use you to make a difference as we live love together? Let's pray. In a moment, we're going to enter into a time of remembrance of how much Christ loved us. The Bible says that while we were sinners and apart from him, Christ died for us that we might have a relationship made available and possible with the Father. On the night before Jesus died, he took bread and wine while he was sitting with those closest to him. As they gathered, remembering the Passover, a meal reminding them of the way that God had delivered them in the past, Jesus sat before them and held up the bread. And he said, something new is going to start. And this bread, when you eat it, I want you to remember me and what I have done for you, what I have shown you. And then he held up the cup and he said, I offer up this cup as a new covenant, as a symbol of my blood that was shed to pay for your sins. As we bring our service to a close this morning, my hope is that you would sit there and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Do you know him? Do you know his Son? Do you want to know true love? Then at this time, invite him in. Second of all, I want to lead you to, as we go through this time of remembrance, as we take communion together, to remember the body of Christ that was broken for you and for me, and the blood that was shed to pay for our sins. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Christ, then you can do it right now. There's no special ceremony. There's no routine. You simply just recognize that you need him and want him, and you call out to him and say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me yours. Take me just as I am. You don't have to get perfect. You don't have to go to church 10 times and then you earn the right to somehow invite Christ in. You do it right here, right now, just saying, God, I love you. I need you to come in. I want your love in my life. Come in and make me the person you want me to be. It's something you do sitting right there. And if you've done that, then as the time of our service closes and we have a time of worship, as an act of worship, I want to invite you as families to get out of your seat and to make your way to one of four stations. We have a station on up here in the front on each side and one in the back, where communion is made available. Simply take a piece of bread as a representation of the body of Christ broken for us. Dip it in the cup of juice as a representation of the blood that was shed for us. And if you want to pray about receiving the love of Christ into your life, or if you've got some struggle of some kind in your life that you would like prayer for, we have men and women at each prayer at each station available and waiting to pray with you as well. If you've got a child that you would like to take with you to communion, we can pray a prayer of blessing over them as well at this time. And if your child has taken that step of putting their faith in Jesus Christ, then they're absolutely welcome to the table as well to take communion. This is not a communion, a table for just Hope Hill, but for all who know Jesus Christ as their Lord. My hope is that you would allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you over the next 10, 15 minutes as we worship Him. As you feel led to take communion, do so. Let's let this be a time as we come before the Father to let His Holy Spirit speak to us. One more point before we break. The children are coming back in to join us. They're actually going to be in the back of the room near the lunch tables. And so as you feel led as a mom and a dad to take communion, we invite you to go back and to show the small group leader that you're their parent, and you then take your child and to continue into worship with us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we would come to know true love. That we would come to know you, who is from the beginning, who knew us by name even before this world was created. You knew we'd be here today. And God, I pray for those who are here today, who don't know you, who have not come to know true love, that their hearts would be open to you. Lord, move during this time. Lead us to live love the way that you live love for us. In your name we pray.